It's hard to imagine the impression the 10-week voyage must have made on the Carnegie family. Arriving in New York, the fastest way to Allegheny, Pennsylvania, was to travel to Philadelphia by boat or carriage, and then across by the new Pennsylvania Railroad. But that was too expensive for them. From New York, they sailed up the Hudson to Albany, changed to a slow-moving barge to Buffalo, then changed to another ship and went across Lake Erie to Cleveland, and then down more barges to Allegheny. They finally arrived at the house of Margaret's sisters at 336 Rebecca Street, today part of Pittsburgh's North Shore, where Heinz Stadium now stands. The family was given two rooms on the second floor. It wasn't much better than Dunfermline. The house had no running water, no sewage, and now there were three families living together in cramped spaces. William tried to find work as a weaver, Margaret as a shoe cobbler. Even within the Scottish community, it was very tough going, and Andrew wrote that it was the first time he understood true poverty. William, who wasn't as assertive as Margaret, found there was no demand for fine handmade tablecloths or napkins when there were cheaper machine-made items to be had. Andrew wrote that it broke his heart to see his father begging for work. He resolved he would find work and do whatever it took to help the family. He finally found work as a bobbin changer in a cotton mill. Young boys did this work mostly, needing to quickly replace a bobbin full of thread for an empty one. It was dangerous work where fingers and feet often were crushed in the unforgiving machines. He worked 12-hour days, 6 days a week for $1.20 or 2 cents a day. That's the equivalent of $28 a week today, or 30 cents an hour. Andrew was personable and friendly and worked his way up to stoking the burners and washing the bobbins. He wrote it was less dangerous, but extremely hot and the smell intolerable, but it paid $2 a week. In Dunfermline, he had 3 years of schooling where he showed aptitude for reading and writing. He had a remarkable memory and could recite long passages of poetry. He showed the owner of the cotton mill samples of his writing and was put to work part-time copying some of the accounting ledgers for an additional dollar a week. Andrew wrote, "I decided I would keep this extra dollar for myself, since it was a job I had found on my own." A year later, Andrew would become a messenger boy for a local telegraph company. I will speak about this in the next episode, but it's mentioned here because during this time, he discovered that a Colonel James Anderson let, quote, working boys borrow books from his 400-volume library. Andrew discovered his job of messenger boy didn't qualify. I might be incorrect in the caption below where I wrote that his job as bobbin boy didn't qualify. There are variations on this story. Either way, angered that he didn't qualify, he wrote an anonymous letter to the Pittsburgh Dispatch demanding that all working boys should qualify and stated his argument why. Anderson was impressed and Andrew got his books. He formed a book club with his friends where they discussed each new book they read. Andrew wrote that the library opened a vast world to him. So, between the ages of 13 and 14, Andrew learned how to assert himself to make more money, the power of the press and the printed word, and that he had an insatiable quest for knowledge.